thank you again for being here. A couple of things I need to update you. I apologize. This slipped my mind a moment ago, but before I jump into the sermon, a couple of things. One is Woody. Many of you were asking about Woody. We prayed for him last week. He's out of the hospital. He got out of the hospital in the middle of the week. They do believe they finally got to the root of some of his issues and are going to be able to address them. So we praise the Lord for that. He's had a rough season health-wise. So thank you for your prayers for them. Thank you very much for that. And I did confirm, I know we have the carpet refurbishment and the painting refurbishment project that we hope to get done by the end of the year. I spoke to the manufacturer, not the distributor local, but the manufacturer last week, and it is going to be after the first of the year. They apologized profusely. It's just one of those things that couldn't be helped, but I'll be updating you more on that as we move forward. This morning, we are in our second in our Christmas series entitled Incarnation. I want to just say something up front. Incarnation and the virgin birth are not the same thing, but they are linked inseparably, and I will talk more on that next week. You're going to want to be here next week for this series. I'm going to speak specifically about the virgin birth, about the Immaculate Conception. I'm going to talk about that and what it means for us. This morning, we're going to talk about incarnation. Remember last week, we introduced this series and incarnation. And the first thing that the incarnation speaks to us is that God came into our world. That's good news, church. Because we could not get to his world. He came into our world. He came into our hurts, into our pain, into our suffering. And he came into our world. He truly is God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He came into our world. And that is good news. I hope this week that you had an opportunity to tell someone God is with you in the midst of what you're facing. God is with you in the midst of what you're facing, of what you're up against, of what you're in. Because God and the incarnation speaks to us about that. This morning, I want to speak to you about another aspect of the incarnation that came about through the virgin birth and what happened when God became man. And hopefully through that, for you and I to gather some deeper meaning to Christmas. Pray with me. Father, I thank you that right now in this moment, for the next few moments, you come. And this space that we are in, this time space that we are in, is, Lord, that it is anointed that you can speak to our hearts. We give you this time. We surrender ourselves to what you want to say. And Holy Spirit, speak into our lives from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. An interviewer years ago asked Larry King. Everybody know who I'm talking about when I say Larry King? Most everybody, shake their heads. An interviewer asked Larry King if there was one person that you could interview. And Larry King probably interviewed more people than probably any other single person. But if there's one person you could interview that you've not interviewed, who would it be? And he said, Jesus Christ. I find that fascinating, don't you? Larry King, from my understanding, is not a believer. He is also has a Jewish heritage, and I just find that whole idea fascinating that he said the one person he would want to interview would be Jesus Christ. The interviewer wisely followed it up with another question and said, why? Why Jesus Christ? And Larry King said this. He said, I would like to ask Jesus, I'm quoting here now, I would like to ask Jesus if he was indeed virgin born. The answer to that question would define history for me. Wow. This from an unbeliever. The answer to that question would define history for me. I have news for you this morning. The answer to that question is yes, he was indeed virgin born. And it does define history. All of history. History past, history present, history future. That God came redefines everything for us. Amen? It redefines everything for us. One way that it redefines everything for us has to do with what I call, what you and I know and what the Bible speaks of as redemption. And that sounds like may sound like a big word to some of you, but I'm going to explain it and talk about it a little bit this morning in a message I've entitled, God Redeemed. Last week, we talked about God came in the incarnation. This morning, I want to talk with you about God redeemed. I want us to read our text that we read last week. Again, turn with me to Matthew, the first chapter. We're reading the story this morning from Matthew again because it speaks directly to where we want to go. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." I want to pause there and tell you next week, I'm speaking directly to that issue. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You're going to want to be here next week. Verse 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." This morning, I want to highlight one verse in this text, talk a little bit about it, and then talk about how it applies to my life and your life when it comes to the idea that God redeemed when he came into the world. It's verse 21, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Let me read it again, and then we're just going to talk through a little bit. "She gave birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Everybody say it with me, Jesus. Jesus is the most, not only profound, but well-known name in all of history. The name of Jesus has special significance. It has special significance in the life of men. The name Jesus appears, that name Jesus, appears 887 times in the book of Matthew alone. Remember, Matthew was writing to his Jewish followers or to his Jewish audience. He was writing to encourage them to understand that Jesus was the Messiah, which we will talk about in a subsequent sermon. But he was trying to help them then to understand that this Jesus that came, lived, and died, and rose again was the Messiah that they had been looking for all along. And as part of that, Matthew, in his gospel that he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he includes the name Jesus 887 times in the NIV version of the Bible. Think about that for a moment. It's only 28 chapters long, but 887 times he calls the name of Jesus. I remember as a young boy sitting behind an older couple she in particular, I can remember when God would be moving in the service. God would be moving around the altar. Some of you can identify with what I'm about to say. I can remember hearing her as a young boy. I can remember her saying, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus." Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And as a young boy, can I just be honest and transparent with you? As a young boy, I probably snickered some. It just sounded funny. Until I began to realize what that name meant. And at the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. And at the name of Jesus, sickness has to go. And at the name of Jesus, marriages are healed. And at the name of Jesus, relationships are restored. And at the name of Jesus, one day we are all going to go and be with him. Amen? The name of Jesus, 887 times. The name Jesus is actually the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. How appropriate that the name Jesus is the form so that when these Jewish audience within a Greek culture read the name Jesus, what they heard was Joshua, the Lord saves. So 887 times in Matthew's gospel, he said, "The Lord saves, the Lord saves, the Lord saves, the Lord saves, the Lord saves." I can't say it 887 times this morning. I don't have time, but Matthew repeated it over and over and over again. The Lord saves. What does he mean by that? Notice as it goes forward, Matthew actually says that. He says, because he will save. He will save. Those that are in church, those of us who are in church and been raised in church, when we use the word save or we use the word salvation, sometimes the meaning of that is lost on the greater audience. In fact, it may even be lost on us at some times. The word save there actually has, it's like a diamond. And when you look at it, there are two or three different things that you say. One is to deliver from sin. I'm going to speak a little bit more about this in just a moment. I am so glad that he made a way. We sang about it a few moments ago. He made a way in a manger or through a manger to deliver me from my sin. Amen. He saves. Not only that, though, that word also doesn't mean just deliver me from the sin. I mean the actual physical sin, the actual spiritual sin, the actual emotional sin. He delivers me, and you can put a name on that. You can put lust on that, or you can put gluttony on that. Lord, Pastor, you don't have to go there, not during holiday season, right? You can put a name on that, but the fact is he delivers us from that sin, whatever that sin may be. But that word save also means that he delivers me from the judgment of that sin. I'm so thankful that he not only delivers me today, being from the sin, but he delivers me today from the judgment of that sin. When I stand before him, I will stand before him covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, I've not only been delivered from the sin this day, I've been delivered from the judgment of the sin on that day. And that's good news this morning, church. That's good news. But it has a third meaning as well. And that is that he will deliver me from the evil. He will deliver me from the evil. Now that's, I got to tell you, that's a hard one to get our hands around because you and I live in a sin-sick world. Am I right? And we can still say that today. I know it's not politically correct, but we still live in a sin-sick world. And we feel the effects of that sin. But I want you to know this morning, you are not subject to that evil. In fact, Jesus said, pray every day, deliver us from evil, meaning the evil one. I am so glad that Jesus came to break the bondage of evil and break the authority that evil has over our world. I know it's a dark world, but I know Jesus Christ is still in control. Amen. He saves. He saves. He saved his people. Watch this. Now, here's where it gets personal. Here's where it gets personal. He will save his people from whose sins? Mama's sins. He will save his people from whose sins? Daddy's sins. It's mama's fault, or it's daddy's fault, or it's my heritage's fault, or it's my culture's fault. Come on now. We have a way today of making our sin, in fact, the word sin there means, it means fault, it means error, it means guilt, it means failure. It's this idea of complete fault, failure, guilt. We have a way today of assigning our guilt to somebody else. Come on now, don't get quiet on me now. You know, I'm preaching the truth. It's always, we shift blame. We are a culture that likes to shift blame. It's the culture's fault. It's the politics' fault. It's my heritage's fault. It was the fault of the way I was raised. And listen to me. I'm not saying those are not significant issues in our lives. I'm not saying the way you were raised doesn't impact your life. It absolutely does. I'm not saying the culture doesn't impact your life. It absolutely does. I'm not saying that what's going on in the world that we live in doesn't impact our life. I'm not saying that's not so. I'm saying this, it's my sin. It's my sin. I own this sin. The circumstance didn't do it. The culture didn't do it. My heritage didn't do it. My raising didn't do it, right? It's my sin. I own the sin. He will save his people from their sins. Let me just a side note to what I'm preaching to you this morning. I want you to understand what he's saying. Listen to me. If you feel like you have no sin, then you cannot be rescued from it. Right? If there's no fault, if there's no blame, if there's no guilt, and if you don't own it, you cannot be rescued from it. You will spend your life blaming somebody else. This is not in my notes. This is extra. I won't charge you extra. I promise this morning. I just got to tell you this morning. Listen to me. This is a side note to what I'm saying, but I feel like somebody needs to hear this morning. The person that you blame for your issue, I'll just leave it at your issue. You know what I mean by it. The person that, if you spend your life blaming someone, Dallas, come help me a second. Just stand. I won't embarrass you. I don't promise that, but I'm going to make Dallas the good guy this morning. If I spend my life blaming Dallas for my deal, Dallas said this, Dallas did this, Dallas acted this way, whatever, I give control over my life to Dallas. If what's going on in my life is Dallas's fault, I give control over my life to Dallas. I don't want to live that way. I don't thank you, Dallas. Dallas has enough being in control of his own life. I don't want to put him in control of my life too, right? Come on now. I'm telling you, man, it's getting quiet in here this morning. The point that I'm making is it's my sin. It is my sin. It's not anybody else's fault. It's not your last wife's fault. It's not your last job's fault. It's not. I own it. But I have good news. He came to save his people from their sins. I am not lost in that sin. I am not lost in that tragedy. I am not lost in that issue. In fact, what Matthew is wanting us to see this morning is Mary gave birth to a son. His name was Jesus, which means the Lord saves, and he will rescue or deliver his people from their failures, their guilts, their sins, their hangups, their issues. And that is a good Christmas news this morning, that he came to deliver us from our sins. Amen? That's good news. You can give the Lord praise for that this morning. Now, what happened there? And I'm gonna pull this together here. Just what happened? Why did him coming, being born as a human, what did that have to do with dealing with our sins? What difference did that make? Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, and he says this: for what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh to be an offering for sin. Watch this. So he condemned sin in the flesh. What's the point that you're making? The point that Paul was making is that what the law could not do, because it was dependent on human flesh, therefore could never overcome sin, God came in the flesh and overcame sin in the flesh. God entered your world, my world. We talked about that last week. And he did so and overcame my sin, overcame my fault, overcame my guilt in the flesh. Romans 8, 3, he condemned sin in the flesh. What's the point that you're making, Pastor? It is one thing, or it would have been one thing, and God could have chosen to have done it anyway. It would have been one thing for God to have defeated sin from on high, from the throne room. He could have chosen to do it that way, but he did not. He chose to step down into your world and my world and become acquainted with our grief, become acquainted with our sins, become acquainted with our sorrows, even our sickness, become acquainted with it so that he might overcome it in the flesh, so that you and I, as we live in this fleshly body, we can live victoriously over sin. I am thankful this morning that God redeemed. God redeems. That word for save in the New Testament, that word is the word redeem. God came in Jesus to redeem us from our lost condition, to deliver us from our sin, to deliver us from our sin. And the New Testament word for that is the word redeem. It's the reason I've called this message, God Redeems. Now, let me just camp here just for a moment this morning. Let me just camp here just for a second. The word redeem is an interesting word. And it has application to every single person under the sound of my voice this morning, both here and those that will listen to it on the internet. The word redeem is an interesting word because it's a marketplace word. And some of you may have heard this before, but it's a market. The word redeem is a marketplace word. How many of you coupon? Do I have any couponers this morning? Come on now. Some of you are just not being honest this morning. I know if you got a $5 off coupon this morning, somebody you using that coupon, right? See the value of that coupon, that coupon has no value until it's redeemed. Right? Until it's redeemed. And so the word redeem, it's a marketplace word. In fact, in this culture, it's specifically related to the slave market. To the slave market. And what it meant was, had three meanings. If you're taking notes, write down the word redeem and then write down 1, 2, 3 under it. If the word redeem has three meanings. The first word meaning is rescue. Redeem means rescue. See, when I said a while ago they were my sins, you understand what that means? That means that I, Glenn, and like every one of you, was being traded in the slave market of sin. What? Come on, you've seen like one sin for another sin for another sin, just being traded like a slave to sin. But I am so glad that Jesus Christ came as a virgin and lived a sinless life so that he could walk right up into the slave market and rescue me out of that slave market of sin so that I am not being traded from sin to sin to sin any longer. I've been redeemed. I've been rescued out of the slave market of sin. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you don't just listen. The second word, if you're writing down, the first word is rescue. The second word is renew. He didn't just rescue me out of the slave market, but he renewed me. Behold, old things have passed away, and now all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ. I am so thankful this morning that he didn't just rescue me out of the slave market, but he gave me new life. He gave me a new breath. He gave me a new lease. He made me renewed and refreshed and made me new again. I am no longer what I used to be, because the Spirit of God lives inside of me and lives inside of you this morning. That's good news. That's redemption. Rescue, renew, but there's more. Rescue is the first word. Renew is the second word. And then the third word is release. You understand, don't you, this morning, that he did not, that you are not a mannequin in a window. You are not a new car sitting on a lot. You are not a trophy sitting on a shelf. He rescued you and renewed you that he might release you into a new life so that now you are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. You have been released to a new life that you do not live as the old man lived. Why? Because the new man is alive inside of you and you've been released now to live a new life. Redeemed. Somebody say it with me. Redeemed. Rescue. Renew. Release. He came that we might be redeemed. That we might be redeemed. Now, why did he do that? Why did he do that? What does the incarnation of Jesus Christ through the virgin birth, what was it God was doing? What was it God was doing? I'm going to share these three things with you real quick. What God was doing. And then I'm gonna pull this sermon to a close there. Three things that God was doing. If you're taking notes, write down 1, 2, 3. I'm gonna give you three things that God was doing when Jesus came. The first thing was this. The incarnation, the virgin birth, was God's action. It was God's action. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Listen to me. The virgin birth, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, was God's action. He took action to rescue his people from their sins. He took action to rescue us from our guilt. He took action to rescue us from evil. Jesus came into our world. He took action to redeem us, to renew us, to make us free, to give us a right relationship with God. He took action to empower us to live in right relationship with God. The virgin birth says that God was not just going to set on high and watch it happen. He took action and became personally involved. And that's good news this Christmas season. Amen. It's God's action. The virgin birth, the incarnation, and those two things are different. I'm going to talk more about them next week. But they are God's action. They show that God cares, that God moved, that he took action. The second thing, it was God's answer. It was God's answer. The incarnation wasn't only God's action, it was God's answer. The incarnation of Jesus Christ through the virgin birth is God's answer to our dilemma. In other words, he came into my dilemma to restore it, to rescue it, to renew, to release. He came into my helpless circumstance. God answered by becoming man, and through the life and light of Jesus Christ, he rewrote the script. He wrote himself into our story and us into his story. It was God's answer to our dilemma. Every single one of us was found in a place where our dilemma was we could not rescue ourselves. So God not only took action, but he gave an answer to your dilemma and my dilemma. I am so glad that I did not have to rescue myself. There is a teaching that is going on. It is humanistic in nature. But it says man does not need a savior. That man is his own savior. And to that I just want to say, look back at the last 2,000 years of history. If man was going to rescue himself, we would not be in the place we, if man could rescue himself, how did we end up here? We ended up here because man cannot rescue himself. It's God's action. It's God's answer. The third thing is this, and I'm going to pull it together after this. The third thing is it's God's antidote. It's God's antidote. What do you mean by that, Pastor? The incarnation of Jesus Christ through the virgin birth is the antidote to our condition. See, listen to me this morning. We man's condition was not just bad. It was terminal. Let me say that again. I'm going to leave Dallas, I'm going to pick on Ben. Ben, you understand this morning. Your condition wasn't just bad, it was terminal. Right? You weren't just broken, you were fatal. Is anybody getting this morning? Amen. Our condition was terminal. Our condition was fatal. God had to give an antidote. You do understand, don't you, this morning, that God, listen, hear this. God did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Amen. Come on now, listen to me. He did not come to make bad people good. He didn't even come to make good people better. He came to make dead people live again. I am thankful this morning that he came to call us out of our death of sins and to make us alive, alive, alive in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we moralize. He's a good person. She's a good person. Listen, should you have morals? Absolutely, you should have morals. But your morals cannot save you. Our morals cannot save us. They make us live a good life. But without Jesus Christ, the end of that life is still the same. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is God's answer, antidote. Jesus Christ is God's action. You and I, the human condition was terminal illness. Jesus is the antidote for the condition of mankind. And God injected that into the history, man's history, by becoming man, born of a virgin in a manger over 2,000 years ago. Wow. God came and God redeemed. I'm so glad this morning God didn't leave us. See, this morning here, what does this have to do with you and I? Here it is. What do we do with this? What's the main idea, Pastor? Here it is this morning. I want you to listen. Everybody just plug right in here. I'm going to finish in 3 minutes. You know what it means when a pastor looks at his watch? Absolutely nothing. But you listen to me, plug in right here. Pastor, what do I do with this? Here it is. Accept God's answer for your life, and you can walk in the light and the life of Jesus. And that's what he introduced for us at Christmas. That's what he gave us. That's the gift, or part of the gift of the incarnation. It's God's answer, God's antidote, God's action. If I accept God's action for my life, then I can live the life and the light of Jesus Christ. See, God is able. He is able to redeem any situation, any circumstance, any life, any relationship, any business, any church. He's able to redeem it. Why? Because he is the Redeemer. He is Jesus, the Lord who saves. Oh, what good news that is. The Christmas present is simple, and yet it's profound and life-changing. So this morning, I call you to this place. And I call you to two actions. There may be some this morning. I do not know your life. Even the ones that go here all the time, I don't know your life. And there are some that I see on occasion and some that I'm seeing for the first time this morning. I don't know your life. There may be some this morning that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. There may be others that have accepted him, but you know, and he knows, that you're really the Lord of your own life. You're running it yourself. Can I tell you there's a better way? The response to this message this morning that God saves is for you to accept God's answer. If you're here this morning and you've not accepted God's answer for your life, I just have a sense this morning that there's somebody that you've been looking for an answer. What will fix this? What will change this? What will rescue this? And I'm telling you this morning, the answer is Jesus Christ. And nothing else will. Nothing else will. So if you're here this morning and you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, or if you accepted him at some point, but you no longer, at some point, you've replaced him on the throne of your heart and you need to invite him in again this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Would you bow your heads with me? Holy Spirit, in just a moment, I'm going to give people an opportunity to raise their hand saying they want to accept you as their Savior. Some for the first time, some, Lord, giving you control again of their life. Holy Spirit, I pray that this moment would be sacred, that you would wipe out any distractions right now. Let them tune in. I want you to know this morning, God loves you deeply. And you, every one of us, has to make this decision for ourselves. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, or you know that he's not on the throne, he's not the Lord of your life, he's not running your life, you are. I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision this morning. Would you raise your hand if that's you this morning? I've never accepted him, or I know he's not really the Lord of my life, even though I say he is, I know he's not. Come on, this is your hand. I want you to raise your hand this morning. There's one hand. Thank you. Come on, I know there's two or three others. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there another? Is there another this morning? I want to accept Christ. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Is there another this morning? I want to make sure Jesus is the Lord. I want to accept God's gift this Christmas season of Jesus Christ. I want to accept God's answer for my life. Yes, there's another. Thank you. God's still moving, church. I'm just gonna stay right here just for one. I know there's two or three others. If you're here this morning, you need to accept Christ as your Savior. You need to give Him the Lordship of your life. If you're here this morning, just raise your hand because I'm going to pray with you in just a moment. Your hand is just an act of faith saying, God, I raise my hand in faith. I believe that you want me to ask you to be my Savior this morning. Is there another that joined these three or four this morning? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for those two or three right now. I thank you for those two or three right now. If you raise your hand, I want you to take just a moment and just ask Him in your own way. In a moment, I am going to pray a prayer with you. And as I do, you need to ask Him in your own way. God, I want you to come into my life. I surrender my life to you. I give my life to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that right now, every person that raised their hand, that they will truly begin to ask you, Lord, even as they raise their hand, that was a cry for you to come, Lord. And as they raise their hand right now, God, as they pray a prayer inviting you, Lord, we believe you are the Savior. We ask you to come into our lives. We ask you to cleanse us of our sins. We ask you to make us new again. We ask you, Lord, to be the Lord of our lives. Lord, right now in their lives as they pray that prayer. And Lord, there are some, I know there are some this morning, that Lord, that have not raised their hand but need to pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I need a Savior. I know you are that Savior, and I give my life to you today. As they pray that prayer, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will honor that. That you will honor that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, I want everyone to look at me. The two or three that raised your hand, I want to say something to you specifically. Before you go, I have a little book that will help you over the next 3 weeks. I have a little book I want to put in your hand that'll help you over the next 3 weeks. And in any way that my wife and I can serve you or this congregation can serve you, as you begin to walk that out, we are here for you and available for you. So please don't leave before I slip that book into your hand. I'm going to need three of those books off of my bookshelf. Thank you. Now to everyone I want to say this morning, there's something more we have to do with this. We cannot, and I hope you can hear my heart, because sometimes on Sundays I think I say this and we nod our heads and we go off and we forget about it until the next Sunday. But with such an incredible gift that we have been given, with the gift of salvation, the gift of rescue, the gift of being renewed, the gift of being made new, we cannot keep that gift to ourselves. There's a world that needs someone to just offer them, look, there's an answer to your dilemma. It's Jesus. There's an answer to your problem. It's Jesus. There's an answer for your life. It's Jesus. And you and I have to offer this Christmas season this gift to others. It's simple to do. You don't have to be a master apologist to make all the arguments. You know what you need to do? You know what the simplest thing you can do for someone to help them understand what God can do in their life? The simplest thing you can do is simply tell them what He did in your life. Tell them the difference He's made in your life. Tell them the change He has made in your life. And that will be an invitation that will open them up. That will open them up to asking Jesus into their lives. So can I ask you this morning? There are only two responses to this. One is to accept the gift and the other is to offer the gift to others. Can I implore you this week? We are told by people who study these things that at Christmas and Easter, people are more open than any other time of the year. Can I encourage you? Take advantage of this season. Paul said it this way. He said, be ready to take advantage of every opportunity. Amen. And I encourage us to do that this morning and this week. Stand with me. I have to remind you before I pray because I will forget it and you'll start to move after I finish praying. I have to remind you, Geraldine is imploring you, we need a good list. If you are coming and are not on the list, you must be on the list. If for some reason you're not coming, please strike your name off so we can make proper arrangements. Father, we thank you, we praise you today for the three individuals that ask you, Lord, to come and be the Lord in their lives. Lord, I don't know if that's the first time or if they're asking you again, but they've said, I don't want to run my life anymore. I want to give it to Jesus. And they've asked you to come and to rescue, renew, and release them. And I thank you for that. I pray that we as a church will be there for them as they walk out and try to walk that in a very real and personal way, Lord. I thank you for that. Now tonight, or today, God, I pray that this week that you will help us to offer that gift also to others who need it so desperately. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. If you were one of the ones that raised your hand, before you go, would you, Jill and I just kind of mill around the front, would you just slip this way and we'll put that book into your hand. God bless you, we love you.